the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, June the 4th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. The House pushes through a disaster aid package for U.S. victims of flooding and severe weather. Also on our Tuesday rundown, civil rights groups praise a voting rights measure making progress in Nevada, and we conclude our series of reports on college student hunger. Now our top story, the House has approved a $19 billion disaster aid package. National Public Radio reports that's despite earlier objections from Republicans. NPR reports the legislation approved on a vote of 354 to 58, and all those opposing were Republicans. They add the Senate already passed that bill overwhelmingly. Trump has said he backed the measure, even though it did not include border money. With Trump's signature, that legislation would help speed relief funds to communities hit by tornadoes, wildfires, volcanoes, drought, flooding, and other disasters. Meantime, the U.S. is coming off the wettest 12 months on record. Iowa farmers are being encouraged to boost conservation practices to help them adapt. Here's Ross Brown.
Too much rain has kept many farmers out of their fields this spring at a time when U.S. farm income already is projected to drop 45% below a 2013 high. Agronomy professor Gene Tackley with Iowa State University says Iowa's weather is significantly affected by the Gulf of Mexico jet stream, which will bring excess moisture to the state for the foreseeable future.
Physics is very clear that this jet is getting stronger, and so it's a natural consequence that our climate in the Midwest should be linked to increasing rainfall.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says the period between May of last year and April 2019 was the wettest 12 months since record-keeping began in 1895.
For those keeping track, today corn planting is 68% complete. That's in contrast to 97% this time last year in Iowa, and only 40% of soybeans are planted compared to 87% this time a year ago. After failing to get rid of its pollution control standards entirely, a multi-state commission will vote this week on a plan that would let states like Virginia decide how they want to enforce clean water protections.
The plan being pitched as a compromise by the Ohio River Valley Water Sanitary Commission is opposed by several environmental groups who claim it reverses efforts by states connected to the Ohio River and its watershed to prevent sewage contamination, runoff pollution, and toxic contamination. Gail Hess with the National Wildlife Federation says maintaining regional pollution reduction goals is common sense.
We need regional standards for a river that needs to be managed as a connected system. State boundaries are arbitrary, but the river is one. It's a very large river. It's 981 miles long, and we need to think of it as a single system.
Last year, the commission faced backlash for proposing to get rid of pollution standards. Pressure from opponents continued at public hearings over the new plan to keep the standards in favor of states choosing how to enforce them. A vote is expected at the end of the commission's meeting on Thursday in Covington, Kentucky. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Environmental groups in each of the states involved, including the National Wildlife Federation, have sent letters in opposition to that change. And civil rights groups are cheering for a big voting rights package that passed the state Senate in Nevada on Monday. It now goes to the Nevada governor, pending a quick concurrence vote in the state assembly.
AB 345 would establish same-day voter registration, meaning people could register on Election Day. Wesley Yule with the ACLU of Nevada says this was a major priority for progressive groups once Democrats took over both houses and the governorship in 2018.
It was a no-go under previous legislatures, previous administrations, so we're just really excited to get same-day registration here in Nevada.
The bill also would allow election officials to establish certain universal polling locations where anyone in the county or city can vote, even if it isn't their assigned polling place. It also would allow voters to register online, even on Election Day and during the early vote period. Opponents of the bill say it could result in voter fraud. I'm Suzanne Potter.
That bill would also allow people to permanently request an absentee ballot rather than having to request a new one every election. Finally, Mary Sherman concludes our student hunger series with word that colleges and universities in Ohio are exploring ways to respond to hunger on campus and break down barriers to student success.
Melissa Gilbert is with the Promise House at Otterbein University, just one of roughly a dozen food pantries on Ohio college campuses. She explains college hunger highlights the broader issue of food justice.
Our hope is that we never need a pantry again, and we need to find a solution to that. Pantries are a Band-Aid approach, but they're a necessity, and we've got to have something to make sure nobody shows up to class hungry or is studying for an exam and hasn't eaten in 24 hours.
Solutions include increased access to food stamps for college students, as well as ensuring every student has a meal plan. At the Commodore Cupboard at Lorain County Community College, Sarah Hyde-Pinner says reducing stigma is also key, and their Champions program trains students and staff on food insecurity.
What they can do, how this is actionable, how a faculty member could make a strong referral.
Colleges and universities around Ohio are fighting student hunger with food drives, community gardens, and fundraisers.
I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.